Hello, hello. Thanks for listening to Guidance Counselor 2.0. Listen, I want to give you a quick rundown of what this podcast is and what you're about to get into as you listen to these episodes. We had guidance counselors in middle school. We had guidance counselors in high school, but we didn't really have guidance counselors in college. And now as professionals, we don't really have anybody to turn to ask a quick question, to learn something about the job search or to navigate your career. And so that is what I want this podcast to be for you. I want it to be a tool for you to navigate the job search and your career. So that being said, I hope you enjoy this episode. And if you need to reach me, Taylor@vaco.com is how to get in touch with me. Old fashioned email, social media at TDESSEYN. And finally, please rate and review this in the App Store because I want this to be discoverable for others so they can navigate their careers. Hope you enjoy the episode. Eric, let's give the people what they want.
Let's do it.
Who are you? What do you do? And we'll go from there.
Yeah, sure. I'll give my my little 30-second intro speech. So right now, I'm the site tech lead for Amazon's Air Science Technology Organization in Nashville. So if you're driving on 40, just past the 440 split, you'll see two new brand new towers going in Nashville. That's our Nashville hub. It's home to a ton of organizations, a lot of stuff in the operations space. It's actually the Operations Center of Excellence. And then my team resides there. We're split between Nashville and Bellevue. In Nashville, right now we have four products we're working on, all in the aviation space. Anytime you go to the airport, you see a big cargo plane that says Prime Air on the side. That's what my teams are working on. If anybody's curious about the details, drop it in the comments. We can dig into that, but I'll spare you the details of what my teams do for now. So I've been with Amazon for 2 years today. This is actually my work anniversary.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Thanks. Before I was with Amazon, I was down actually in Austin, Texas, with some of the people there in the comment section. I worked for Dell Technologies, where I was a software engineer. That came at the tail end of a little over a decade in the Army. Schooling wise, I have a bachelor's in criminal justice, which has done almost nothing for me career wise. I was actually a police officer in a former lifetime. That was the only time that degree actually came into use. And then I got a couple of masters from Syracuse University. I have a master's in business analytics and a master's in business administration. Other than that, I guess fun stuff. I own a farm in Nashville, got some goats, horses.
We're both farm guys.
Oh, no, I didn't know you were a farm guy.
Hey, I got 15 acres now up here in Hendersonville.
Nice. Look at that.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Just trying to be like Eric and always in my life. all right. So want to dive in today and, you know, have a lot of stuff to cover. And again, so a lot of, I don't come up with questions. I don't have set questions. I want this to be more of a fireside chat between two friends. And so Eric and I were chatting backstage, quote unquote, before we went live. I was like, man, like, what are you passionate about, Eric? Like, what do you want to talk about? Because last time we talked about breaking into the Fang, and Eric was like, well, you know, I'm kind of dealing with these two main things. One is retention, right? Trying to find talent. Eric has actually had to go up the flagpole at Amazon and be like, hey, listen, we're struggling in finding talent here, right? So we're going to talk about that. And then also we're going to talk about what Eric is doing from an X's and O's, right? We're going to get into a little technical, not technical, but more of a technical kind of management coaching type philosophy of what Eric does. And so Eric, I want to kick it off. And the first thing is retention, right? And finding talent. Everyone's struggling with it. And it's curious you brought this up backstage because I'm like, Eric's got it. It's Amazon, right? Everybody wants to work at Amazon. But Eric, can you kind of dive in on what you're struggling with right now, especially when it comes to finding managers?
Yeah. So, I mean, on the recruiting retention side, there's a lot of struggle. And what I will say is Amazon is a gigantic organization. So oftentimes as a hiring manager, we're not just competing against, you know, external companies. We're also competing against teams within Amazon. One of the beautiful quirks of Amazon is kind of the way that it grew up over the years. So the way it grew up, and there's a lot of organizations like this, but it's not exactly a monolithic organization. It's more of a conglomerate. So you're looking at a ton of different organizations that are all essentially their own startup with the centralized funding from Amazon, which creates a lot of, you know, competition when it comes to finding candidates. Sometimes I'll source a candidate and I'll find they've been sourced by another team. And, you know, we're doing a little competition.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I do not envy recruiters, even in this market. I mean, this is probably a good time for recruiters with a great resignation and all that. But, you know, when we're looking at, you know, I'll start with the retention side. So right now I have 11 engineers. And you know, every day it's a matter of retaining that talent. I've done a pretty good job so far. I've only had one person leave my team.
I want to interrupt you. Because it's the mindset. Do you think your mindset now has shifted to it's like, holy crap, anybody could leave at any day now? I mean, is that in the back of your brain?
100% every time I wake up, every time I go to sleep. It is always a key
nightmare.
And, you know, this is a different ecosystem. Even a few years ago at Dell, you know, when I would look at people on my team, when I look at people that I was working with, there was less of a threat that people were just going to up and leave. But now, I mean, it's flipped. It is the employees' market right now. So as a manager, you know, if you're putting in draconian rules, if you're putting in, you know, hefty policies on even just, you know, not being remote and being in the office, really you're people have a lot of options. You know, within Amazon, we have thousands of roles that people can shift into. Across the industry, it's way above that. So every day it's finding ways to empower the team to make sure their comp is in the right place. And just doing all those things to make sure that I am giving them a satisfying environment to stay in, because, and I pulled some of my team members. I've talked to some of my team members about how many times recruiters hit them up. One of my team members said that it's like twice a day, three times a day. You know, if they wanted to depart, it would be instant. So,
yeah.
You know, every day managers need to be servant leaders, you know, focusing on the bottoms up processes, focusing on empowering the people you hire. And really seeing yourself as behind the team and elevating them as opposed to in front of the team telling them what to do, if that makes sense.
I love that. Absolutely. I want to get to a few more comments that kind of popped in. Joshua chimes in. I always appreciate Eric's post about being an engineering manager, remote work, and working on that farm. Yeah, absolutely. I love it too. Mel comes in. Yes, special announcement for Render ATL today at 11 a.m. Central. You won't want to miss it. I know what it is. It's pretty tight. Happy work anniversary, Eric. I love it.
Thank you.
Another buddy, another happy work anniversary, Cody, Dooley. It's great to see you. Jordan from Philly. We're all over the place. We're all over the US today. I love it. Justin, it's so good to see you as always, my friend. So let me ask you this, Eric. So not only are you commuting or competing against like outside talent, are you kind of competing with keeping your team intact instead of going to another division of Amazon? Like, are you almost competing with that too?
Oh yeah, 100%. You know, Amazon has basically every flavor of software engineering you get into within reason. You can find that within Amazon. So, you know, when it comes to my team members, you know, I'm always thinking in terms of they can easily leave within Amazon.
Right.
And you know, for the most part, actually, you know, if somebody has a passion, if somebody wants to go do something else, it's not just like, oh, I hate the team. You know, I'm gonna work with them. Even if they do hate the team, I'll work with them to find somewhere else where they can be happy. Sure. You know, I'll never look at my employees and try to stymie their career goals, even when it comes to going external or internal.
100%.
You know, personally, I like having that freedom, you know, even in the management role, and I want to extend that to my engineers too.
Yeah.
You know, when we're looking at, you know, between remote roles, Nashville roles, I mean, you can get into streaming video, you can get into Alexa, you can get into, and sorry if I set up anybody's devices, you know, you can get into middle mile transportation tech. You can get into front engineering, back end engineering, data science. Everything lives here. So, you know, knowing what my engineers want to do and making sure that A, I'm trying to provide it within the org, and then B, supporting them if they do want to move to another team is kind of how you have to balance that.
So let's go over kind of your comment earlier about having to raise the flag pretty quickly. Can you tell the people kind of watching right now that story and what area of staff is, I guess, what staffing issues that you've had and kind of what you've had to do to fix it?
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't just me raising the flag. I think this was across all of Amazon.
Sure, I'm sure.
But looking at the history of especially larger established companies like Amazon, Google, Facebook, well, Meta, you know, you're looking at companies that grew with the onset of the popularity of the internet. And so with that, we're looking at decades of people being around whiteboards, people, you know, going next door to their neighbor and asking a question. And now we're thrust into this environment, thanks to, you know, due to COVID, where we have to find efficiencies for that. So a lot of people still look at the on-site office as the best way to collaborate. And in many ways, that's probably true. But, you know, going back to the retention piece, you know, we have a new set of engineers coming out of school, and we have sets of established engineers that have embraced the remote lifestyle and don't really personally align with commuting, with being in the office. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Amazon, like a lot of companies, struggled to find its way through the remote space. I think the balance that Amazon found is a pretty positive one. I think it was in February. Our CEO put out a blog post that basically said, hey, we're going to leave it up to directors to determine the, you know, the remote work policy. So, you know, in my org, you know, open, just being fully open, we struggled with finding that right balance. And it's been a bit of an evolution, and it's still evolving now. But right now, the balance we've struck is we've pulled back a little bit on saying, hey, people need to be local to Nashville. People need to be local to Bellevue, Washington. And now, you know, on a case-by-case basis, we're saying, okay, engineers can live across the nation. We can hire people, you know, across the nation, and we'll put in stipulations like, you know, if there is for some reason, a reason to come into the office, we'll give you 24 hours notice. And that's part of the deal. So that's given the engineers a lot of freedom. I've had engineers now relocate up to Indiana. I've hired people out of Virginia. I'm able to keep engineers in Seattle that don't want to move to Nashville. So we have a little bit more freedom there, which has helped with recruiting and has helped with retention. And now kind of, you know, moving now from the IC space into the management space, finding that balance to be able to find, the right way to allow managers to have that same kind of work-life balance. So that's kind of what we're working through here. And it really is an org by org basis within Amazon.
I love that. Dooley chimes in what you said. That speaks volumes and absolutely admirable. Let your people grow. Mel comes in. I keep hearing that this is a employee's job market, but what do you say to the person who's qualified, done all the things career coaches have told them to do and actively applying, but still not getting callbacks? I have thoughts, but I'm kind of curious what yours are initially.
Yeah. So my initial thought there, so even though it's the employee's job market, software engineering is still a very high consequence field. You know, we're still seeing examples where poorly made software still allows security threats or, you know, allows InfoSec issues. So the hiring bar is still going to be largely intact. So we're not necessarily going to downgrade the process. And I know on my team and other teams, we've done things like we took away the offline assessment and just brought people through screenings and into onsites as one efficiency. But we're still going to look for, you know, at least at Amazon, the high bar. And I think across the industry that's still the practice that needs to be in place. What I would recommend, if you have all the qualifications, and you follow career coach advice, what I would say is find somebody that's not necessarily your friend, maybe professional contact that's outside of your job search, and run mock interviews with them.
Yeah.
I would say sometimes, and I guess the question I might ask is if this is after on-sites, if this is after screening, or this is after application, because one of those things has a gap that you need to tweak. And getting an external opinion, not to give you more work, but, you know, looking for recruiters that may look at your resume and give you feedback, or having a recruiter that might run a screening and give you feedback, or having a friend or a contact that can run a mock interview and give you feedback. That honing those three aspects are what should streamline the process getting into a company. I'd be curious to hear what you have to say, though.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, I totally agree with Eric. I think I would look for consistencies, commonalities, like, where's the process breaking down, right? Is it a ton of phone interviews and you get rejected out of the phone interviews? All right, well then maybe let's talk about, you know, what your phone interview kind of spiel is, right? Are you telling your story correctly? Are you communicating correctly? Are you breaking down on the on-site and the technical round? Okay. If you are, is there a specific area or type of questions that are really stumping you, right? It's looking for kind of this process and evaluating every part of the process. But I'll also tell you this too, it is an employee's market, but just because it is employee's market doesn't mean it's honestly, I believe this is Carmel saying this, but it's almost what she just said is there's a lot of other people out there too, right? Just because it's an employee's market doesn't mean like everybody has all the leverage, right? I think that's a common misconception right now. Employee's market, I can just go sneeze and find a job. You can't. Like, you still have to put in the work. It's still just as competitive. Because like Eric said, Eric was originally tied to Nashville engineers. Now Eric can go hire an engineer in Virginia that may not have had that chance pre-COVID, right? And so again, just because it's an employee's market doesn't mean it's easier. It actually means in some instances it's harder, but it allows you to have more access to more opportunities. So if that makes sense, hopefully that makes sense. So Eric, I want to get into some tactical things. And can you talk about maybe some things you've implemented for retention? You know, I know you said you just kind of did a reorg and are kind of adding some more things, like maybe just kind of give some tips of the trade from Eric this morning.
Yeah, sure. And I'm probably preaching to the choir. I know some of my engineers are tuning into this also. So we're still a work in progress on a lot of our reorganization, but earlier in the year, I ended up absorbing two teams. So up until January, I had two teams. It was a fairly manageable workload. I think I had six total engineers at the time, two products there that had some, you know, synergies, and now I manage four. So I'm working on hiring managers, but in the meantime, I had to find a way to effectively manage the team when I'm not able to be in the room at all times. Sure. So what I did was I looked at my four products. You know, I had a couple that are in the safety space, looking at aircraft weight and balance and safety reporting on site. And then, you know, I had another product that's focusing on, you know, managing excess cargo space, and then another product for financial automation. So what I'm working on now is trying to, you know, set the team up in a way that we have, we call it pizza teams at Amazon. So it's a team that you can, you know, feed with two pizzas on the table.
I knew that, believe it or not. I've heard that.
It's a pretty unique term. Yeah. It took me a minute to be like, we're talking about pizza.
Yeah, but yeah, like, so I eat all the pizza though, so that's another problem. So I'm really only a team of one. I can only be a team of one, Eric. I eat too much pizza.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah.
So what I'm working on now is setting the team up so we have two cohesive pizza teams that are in the same general space, and then I'm going to bring in management to you know, manage those teams more directly. But what I had to do in the meantime, since I haven't brought on managers yet, I had to find ways, like I said, bottoms up, you know, kind of self-organization, going back to some of the original agile manifesto principles, getting the teams to self-manage, self-organize, and be able to make decisions without me sitting there making decisions for them, since my schedule is exponentially more packed now that I have all these teams. So one of the concepts that I put together was, the first thing I did was I wrote tenets. So I wrote tenets for the team. And I encourage, if you're a manager on the call and you don't have team tenets, I highly suggest you get team tenets, something you can just stick up on the wall. And if you're not in the room, those are the left and right limits. I wrote tenets for things like, you know, how do you handle meeting requests? Because a lot of my engineers are saying they had, you know, high meeting load. How do you, you know, the tenets also went into what I'm kind of working myself into, which is the concept of a tech lead. A lot of companies have the concept of tech leads. Amazon generally doesn't have that concept, but I needed to have, you know, a way to give my more senior engineers a way to make decisions and, you know, take power into their own hands.
Right.
And then B, it's also a promotion path. So it's easy fodder for somebody going from SD2 to SD3. So I took people that are on the precipice of looking at SD3, gave them this optional position and let them run with it. And so far I've had a lot of good feedback from the bottom up. So there's less red tape to make decisions. There's more, you know, I understand the tech stack as much as I can understand the tech stack, but not as much as an SD2 on my team does. Sure. So allowing the decision-making process to move down to those people that have a deep, intimate knowledge on the tech stack, the infrastructure, the code quality, the tech debt, the operational excellence requirements, you know, giving them the power to make technical decisions seems to be a huge boost to morale and kind of SD enjoyment on the team.
Yeah.
And then I had the caveat that tech leads will never take management. My job is to manage the team. They'll never take people management. So that's always going to lie with the SDM. But this is just a way to give some more bottoms up power to the teams.
I love that. Is there anything else? I mean, so obviously empowering individuals, kind of getting rid of the red tape, I think is incredibly important. I'm curious, is there anything else that you've implemented or that you've maybe even tried to implement and you failed and it just didn't work, right? I'm just kind of curious to peek under the brain of Eric.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I implemented that I'm still waiting to see if it's going to be a success or a failure. I think it's going to be a success, but I implemented what I'm calling free swim day. So the first day of each sprint, we run 2-week sprints. People, and today is actually the day, so I won't see any of my team members. They are off doing whatever they want to do as long as it benefits Amazon. So that's one thing. We'll see if it crashes and burns or if it's going to be a success.
I love that.
Like working on, I think it's going to be a success.
I love that.
In terms of things that weren't very successful.
Maybe you've implemented, you tried something and it didn't, you tried it for like 3 months and just didn't work and flamed out.
I think the big thing that kind of flamed out, and we're looking to reinvigorate this, was I tried to formalize hackathons within my organization last year. So we ran just an internal hackathon. It was pretty good, gave some exposure to the team to other stuff. But it kind of just died in the water when I tried to expand it out to the rest of the org. I never really did a postmortem on it. I think that's really the big thing that didn't really go too well. And I think what might attribute, I made a ton of changes on my team, but I didn't make them myself. Mm-hmm. So whenever I make decisions for the team, I do this formally once a year, and then I do it informally just, you know, through our retro process and all that.
Sure.
But, you know, I make decisions as much as I can with the team's input. So just like, you know, you submit code reviews or pull requests and somebody else looks at your code to make sure it's okay, I do the same thing with decisions when possible. So if I have a good idea fairy that pops into my head, I'll find an existing meeting. I don't like to add more meetings to the team, right? Unless I have to, and we'll sit down and talk about it. I'll get their input back. Because a lot of times, you know, they've experienced other teams in Amazon, or, you know, some engineers have way more experience than I do. So getting their input back on my ideas and then honing the idea so that it fits them a little better seems to have been a little more successful than, you know, other times I've tried to implement processes in other organizations.
I love that. What's your one-on-one cadence look like, right? Because I think for me, managing my team remotely, I mean, I do one-on-ones every week. Sometimes it's a five-minute conversation. Sometimes it's a 35-minute conversation. So, you know, do you do one-on-ones? If you do, what's your cadence like with your team right now?
Yeah. And what I'll say to any manager not doing one-on-ones with your team, you're leaving the door open for them to leave. You need to do one-on-ones with them.
That's so true.
So what I do is for direct reports, I do weekly one-on-ones, which my whole team is direct reports right now. So weekly with all of them. And what I do for kind of topics, a lot of times one-on-ones is just you two staring at each other, saying a couple things and leaving. What I did this year as one of my process changes was I planned out topics week over week. So what we do is we have our normal, like, hey, what's on your mind? How are things going? Sure. Personal conversation. Once that kind of organically ends, we'll crack open the topic of the week. We'll chat about it. I'll take notes. And then we cut it off. So that's kind of how I run one-on-ones.
I like that. So a question comes in from LinkedIn user. Question for you guys. What tips would you give a job seeker like me who wants to get their foot in the door in the tech industry but might lack a certain skill that hiring managers are looking for in an entry-level position? So I will tell you this. Whoever's posting this, you need to go check out I'll let Eric definitely answer right now. But Eric and I dove into this, I think, specifically on our last conversation. But Eric, definitely take a stab at this.
Yeah. So my advice now, which is, I believe, the same as then. It feels like it was 10 years ago. And I think
it doesn't, though. It feels like it was like years ago. It was only last year.
What I would say, so you're either going to have to scale up to match that entry level position. Or what I would say is, if you're targeting a certain company, find an adjacent role that you are qualified for. Come in as a program manager, business analyst, support engineer, quality assurance engineer. Come in something adjacent. And then once you're in the door, start talking to hiring managers. Start finding ways to, if you're talking about an entry-level engineering position, find ways to automate things you're working on. Find ways to commit code. Have an exemplar out there and then try to shift into the role.
Yeah.
And then Amazon, a lot of other big tech companies, at Amazon, I believe it's L4 and below. If you're in a non-tech role, we have an internal apprenticeship program where you go through a boot camp and then you apprentice. And at the end of the apprenticeship, if you meet the SD1 bar, you're offered an SD1 role. So if you find a company with an apprenticeship program, you can come in to a non-tech coded role and usually be some avenue. I know Google has it. I believe Meta has it. And I know Amazon has it. That's my advice on that.
And again, that's why I like Eric. He and I think the same, but also different. You need to be aware. This goes back to Mel too. Mel, I would kind of add this to you as well. What type of roles are you chasing? And maybe not go after that if it's not working, right? I think everybody glorifies the first dev job, which I get. It's hard to get in the door. Trust me. I understand. That's why I try to put out all this content to help everybody as much as I feasibly can. But sometimes you need to go with the QA route or maybe the project coordinator route. I had one guy, part of my texting community, he texted me and goes, hey, I took a data entry role because I asked the hiring manager what my options could be if I do well in this data entry role to move in the data analytics, right? So again, getting creative, asking those questions, I think is incredibly important. Brian comes in with a question. Talk about your criteria for new manager roles. I'm actually curious, is there anything specifically that you're looking for an individual to bring in?
Yeah. So let's talk also the pathways into a management role. Okay. So you're either not a manager and you're going to become a manager, or you're a manager looking for another management role. So I'll start with you're already a manager and looking to come to my team as an SDM. So what I'm looking for is and the roles that I opened up are L6 SDM3 roles. So it's usually more of a senior role, not quite a senior manager role and not managing managers, but we're looking for somebody with experience as a manager. So the key things I'm going to look for an engineering background. I know that there's some people that have different opinions on whether, you know, software or engineering managers need to have an engineering background. I'm in the camp they do. I think it's important that a manager can come in, in the event of an emergency, I can, you know, submit code reviews. I can review other people's code. I can make design decisions. I can be a member of the conversation when I'm talking to junior engineers, senior engineers. And I think it's important for a manager to have an engineering background. And then on top of that, for my roles, I'm looking for somebody to have, you know, at least a couple of years of engineering management experience. But what I'm going to do during the interview process is we're going to dig into that experience and make sure that their habits and their actions as a manager are ones that would raise the bar within Amazon. Now looking at the flip side. So if you are not a manager and looking to be a manager, what I recommend people do is do that in place. So talk to your current manager and find ways for you to maybe manage one person, manage a couple of people, and, you know, get that experience under your belt. There's certain things as a manager that differ when you're managing people than when you're like a program manager or product manager. So you're doing things like talent evaluation. You're doing things like, managing people right, through growth, managing people out of the organization. You're dealing with compensation. There's a lot of topics that you don't necessarily dig into as an IC. So what I would say is stay in place and find ways to get exposed to those topics and those experiences in place. Yep. In fact, I have an engineer who's expressing some desire to maybe explore the management path. So what I'm doing is during the intern cycle, I'll bring in a couple interns. He'll directly manage those interns. So he'll do talent evaluation. He'll attend all the management meetings. He'll coach and mentor them. And then he'll get exposed to the job to make sure that, you know, not only does he have what it takes to be an engineering manager, but also, you know, is engineering management what he wants to do? So that's what I recommend for breaking into management.
I love that. So my data analyst guy or data entry guy is right here, Jordan Carter. I'm that data analyst that took the data entry role, and I definitely feel like it boosted the number of interviews I'm now getting for analyst positions. The probably reason for that is because he has data entry in his LinkedIn, and a lot of recruiters search data when they try to find data roles, and that's why it's popping up. So Jordan, again, I'm proud of you for your awareness, for taking that role and asking good questions. So Eric, as we wrap up here, time flies when we're having fun, like always. Any last words of wisdom for job seekers, hiring managers, just anything else that you want to leave the guests with this morning?
Yeah, so job seekers, what I would say is job seeking is a combination of a volume game and experience game. So as you go through interviews, as you go through applications, you should gain insights. You're not going to gain insights from every single process you go through, but take those insights, hone yourself, and keep going. Eventually it should line up for you as long as you are introspectively looking at yourself and adjusting your approach. Eventually something's going to come along, a path is going to open up. So I would keep your head up and be open to changing, you know, your normal habits towards that process. And other than that, so for managers, the advice that I'd give is, you know, you put engineers and you put other people that are reporting into you through a hiring process that should have validated that they are trustworthy, that they can be trusted with the company's secrets, with the company's infrastructure, with the company's money. Let them manage that. Give them clear goals and set them free. If they meet or exceed the goals, that's good. If they don't, then find bridge plans and work with them. But nobody, I'm guessing even managers included, nobody wants to have a manager tell them exactly what to do. They want to be creative in their job. Let them be creative. You hired them to make decisions.
Yeah, I love that. All right, y'all. Well, thanks again for hanging out with us today. I appreciate it. Eric, stay on as I end it here. I want to say goodbye to you. But y'all have a great one. I would highly recommend connect with Eric on LinkedIn, Eric Yeager, Y-A-G-E-R. Connect with him on LinkedIn, connect with him on Twitter. He's a great follow and a great resource. So thank you all for hanging out with us today. Eric, thank you. Tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m. Central, Unicorn Finders, my other podcast, because a man can't have too many podcasts. We are actually diving in with a software company out of Raleigh called Onna, O-N-N-A. They do a lot of like security and automation for your workflow. Very interesting company. Going to dive into some ML stuff, even though I barely know what ML is. But yeah, check it out tomorrow, 9:30 a.m. Central on our LinkedIn page. Y'all have a great one. Take it easy. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Hey, you did it. You listened to an entire episode, and I am very grateful because you know why? There's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of episodes, and I myself rarely finish an entire episode. So I appreciate you so, so much for listening. Quick reminder, please rate and review this podcast in the App Store. I want this to be discoverable to others, and the only way that happens is if you take the time right now and rate and review it. Please, like right now. Unless you're driving, then don't do it. So thank you again. If you need to reach out to me, taylor@vaco.com or at TDestin on all social media handles. And I hope you have a fantastic day.